I'm Lou Conran.
And I am Sally Ann Hayward.
We're a pair of comedians who've been known to enjoy an alcoholic beverage or 10 over the years, sometimes separately, sometimes together.
But it's occurred to us that we know nothing about the drinks that we love to quaff, and that, unbelievably, there will be some types of liquor out there that we are not acquainted with.
And as we hate missing out, we thought we'd invite some celebrity pals to recommend their go-to tipple and drink along with us while we make them dish the most embarrassing booze-related tales.
And then we give our honest verdict if we are going to spit or swallow. So if it's gross, we drank it so you don't have to.
And it's definitely not just an excuse to open up the drinks cabinet on a Monday night.
Heaven forbid.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Today with Amazon Business, Shannon Stuckey of Walburn Woodworking helped her team buy 63 circular saws.
Okay, Andy, take it easy.
Now she uses her time to focus on growing something big. Buy smarter, dream bigger. Visit Amazon Business, your partner for smart business buying.
I'm Lou Conran.
And I am Sally Ann Hayward.
We're a pair of comedians who've been known to have a glass of wine or 10 over the years, sometimes separately, sometimes together.
But it's occurred to us that we know next to nothing about the drink we love to quaff, and that, unbelievably, there will be some types of vino out there we are not acquainted with.
As we hate missing out, we thought we'd invite some celebrity pals to recommend their go-to wine and drink along with us, whilst we make them dish the most embarrassing booze-related tales.
And then we give our honest verdicts if we're going to spit or swallow. So if it's gross, we drank it, so you don't have to.
It's definitely not just an excuse to drink a bottle of wine on a Monday night.
Heaven forbid.
What are you clicking for?
Can't normally click that well.
What's the matter with you?
Two of them. I might be sounding loud because I've got a microphone in front of me. Anyway.
Oh, do you think it's because you've just drunk some really posh English nice bubbles that's
given me a nice flush and a nice bit of drunkenness as well.
I'm wearing a bright red jumper and my face, you can't tell where the face and the jumper starts and ends.
God. We just had such a great chat with Arabella Weir. We drank a lovely champagne with her. And the conversation went on in really interesting directions, didn't it?
Quite serious. Sometimes, at points.
Sometimes
actually.
Quite serious. But you know, we got a drunken story. I mean, I get the impression there were a lot of drunken stories in there, but they were kind of, there was an umbrella of, oh, I drank a lot in my youth. And
what I like about what Arabella was saying was, is that she's not given up on the booze. She's not decided that it's not for her anymore. And she hasn't got a problem, but she enjoys a drinky poo. And there's far too many people in our lives, Sally, that have gone, no, I don't like being out of control anymore. I'm going to knock it on the head. No! We don't want that in our lives, Sally.
We love being out of control, don't we?
Yeah, just dancing to... Yeah, dancing to Bananarama and
always.
You know,
I reckon a night out with Arabella would be a lot of fun.
And
like
she said that she wanted to meet us in the flesh. So I think that's...
Should we book a Travelodge again and go and see Arabella? Yeah. I think I'll put business in the section when they say, is this hotel been booked for, business or leisure? I'll pop business in there shall I?
Yeah.
And we'll have a night out with Arabella.
Yeah, let's do that. We actually met her son briefly, but we'll leave that to you to have a listen to.
I wonder if he did have the halloumi or the tofu. Let's have a listen before we just keep waffling. Should we just go straight in and introduce our lovely guest? Yes.
Oh, yeah, let's do it.
It's Arabella Weir.
Oh, hang on.
Beautifully timed.
I like a champagne cork a popping when someone says my name.
Well, you should demand it in future now.
Even if it's you're at the doctor's surgery and they call you in, insist on a champagne popping.
And clinic.
Yes.
Pop.
And next time you have a smear test, the sound of a cork popping afterwards.
Exactly. The other way.
I'm pouring this. Ooh, would you like to tell the listener what booze that you have insisted we drink?
English champagne, and I'm not a lover, usually, of a home-based wine.
Yeah.
But this is particularly good. It's called Nye Timber. And as your listeners may or may not know, rather cleverly, and I think it was in about the 1920s, the guys who were making champagne went, why don't we do a thing where no one's allowed to call anything else fizzy champagne? So they can produce any old, you know, revolting stuff and go, but it's champagne. And so no one else in the world is allowed to call white fizzy liquid champagne. So this English... It is a champagne. It's called Nye Timber, as in New Year's Eve, N-Y-E Timber. And it's really rather good. And it's not cheap, but it's very, very nice. And I think gives a very good run to some of the better known champagnes. But it is a champagne. It's just not allowed to call itself a champagne.
Well, I'm gonna plow on in. Cheers.
Cheers, guys. Is it sort of up there with... Veuve Cliquot.
I would say.
Well, I'll tell you. I'm trying.
It's nicer than Bollinger and Veuve Cliquot.
Oh, Arabella. Oh.
International language skills there.
I know. Veuve Cliquot.
From one who knows.
What do you think, girls? Have you sipped it?
Very nice. And that's I've ruined the whole podcast by saying that, because that is actually the end of the podcast. But I cannot hold back.
Yeah,
Thanks for coming. Faux champagne or champagne. Mm. We're not allowed to say it, but so because I'll get a letter from Monsieur Champagne.
You know him as well.
I know him. Yeah, I know him really well, Mr. Champagne.
You really are in the right circles, aren't you?
So am.
I was trying to see the colour of it, but I've got a blue glass. So is it a dark champagne, Sally,
it's very, very light?
It's pale.
Very light. It's sort of. Old man's piss colour.
Great, lovely.
That would be dark.
It's not as dark as that.
It's a lot of water. No, because it's a very, that's one of the things I like about it. It's very unyellow. It's very sort of watery looking, but my God, it tastes good. It's quite peary. Look at me on the food and wine show. But it's not too, you know how champagne can be a bit sort of acid-y.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not at all. Very nice. You down a bottle of that, you'll be thrilled.
Oh, I'm thrilled already.
Yeah. And when did you discover this?
Actually, a really old friend who I wrote a TV show I did a long time ago called Posh Nosh, a spoof cookery show. And one of the things, he wrote all the stuff where it was Richard E. Grant and me, and it was it was very much a piss take of all those. You know, if you're serious about this risotto, you will get your Bataga from Calgary. And you're thinking... Cagliari, and you're thinking, what? What's Bataga? And who's in Sicily? But he actually said to me, you've got to try this English champagne. It's absolutely wonderful. And it's quite expensive when it's normal. You know, it's like 37. I got it in Waitrose. It was sort of 36.99 or something like that. So it's up there with your Veuve Cliquots and your Bollingers.
Mm-hmm.
You
know, and no import taxes, so it's really good. That means, doesn't it?
Richard Brexit, you see.
I'm going to tell you.
She's read. What Lou?
No, you've ruined it now, Sally.
What Lou's done is she's read the box it came.
No,
in.
I never read the box. I just straight to the bottle. Tell us.
I was going to pretend that I was knowledgeable because we're with Arabella and she's like.
Knowledgeable.
Yeah, you're like proper know what you're talking about. But I was going to wow you with the fact that this was made in the Doomsday Book.
Was
it? Oh, I might have misread that. The estate was first recorded in the Doomsday Book.
Thank you. I don't think the champagne was made.
No, it wouldn't last that long.
I don't think
long,
it was mentioned,
it?
Was it?
Yes. Oh. We'll be mentioning our champagne in the Doomsday Book.
In the Doomsday Book.
Doomsday Book, because that's
in it. And it's got something about monks and Henry VIII. Arabella, hello. Hi. What was your drink of choice when you were training to drink, when you were a wee whippersnapper of a lassie?
When I was 15, and I was talking about this with a girlfriend the other day, you could pretty much get served anywhere at 15 in London, because the publicans just wanted, you know, it was long before everyone had trendied up pubs and stuff, and they just wanted to trade. And there was going to be no, you know, you're not old enough. I mean, and also we very much fancied ourselves as, looking older than we were. But it seems incredible to think of now, but we used to think you couldn't arrive at the pub where all the boys and everybody you wanted to hang out with were, unless you were pissed. You had to be pissed to get there. I don't mean to travel there, but, you know, you had to arrive pissed, because, of course, that was a great look. And it was cider, pretty much. It was never wine in those days. It was cider. Wine was an old person's drink. It was cider, and it wasn't spirits, because we couldn't afford them. So it was cider and beer. You just buy the cheapest. Listen, anybody my age remembers Party Sevens. So you'd buy big cans of sort of revolting beer or cider. No disrespect to Party Seven, but it was pretty revolting. And you drink as much of it as you could before you get to the pub. That's right. At the pub, oh God, it's so embarrassing to remember this, I'd get boys to buy me, because I just started reading Raymond Chandler.
Oh.
And I would get boys to buy me a vodka gimlet.
Oh. What's that?
Sophisticated, and boys would buy you vodka gimlets, which I think were, can this be right, 11p in the 70s? Does that sound right?
Well,
maybe they were 1 shilling, I can't remember. So yeah, it'd be a vodka gimlet, and I'd have, you know, 12, 13 of them in the pub. Having arrived. I know, don't.
Wow.
So, I'm Scottish, so there's that. No disrespect to Scots, but, you know, I've got the genes. And yes, there was many. And it was also a badge of honour, because I would go, I'll buy you one. And then you'd go, well, what about a double? And then he'd go, yeah, all right. And then, yeah, but I mean, oh my God, I used to get so drunk. I mean, I'm embarrassed to think about it now, and I'm terrified to think of my kids who are grown up, but, you know, doing the same thing, because, of course, they're not probably drinking like I was drinking, and yet anything they do seems much worse than anything I did.
Yeah. A gimlet, though, is like a little...
It's thing. Lime juice.
And
either vodka or gin.
Yes.
Raymond Chandler, it's a vodka gimlet.
Mm.
Oh, I like that. I'll do that.
Just vodka and lime juice there, not vodka, lime and soda, like what came, that was more 90s, wasn't it? Vodka, lime and soda, just vodka and lime juice. That's quite concentrated, isn't it?
It is quite concentrated. It's quite a short drink, but I don't think it was. No, I don't think there was any soda water in there.
No. God, you're hardcore.
I'm afraid, yeah.
Yeah.
And I didn't continue drinking like that throughout my teens and early adulthood. There was a lot of drinking. There were loads of drugs around. You know, it was the 70s, but I was always much more interested in being drunk than I was in taking drugs. So
where in London were you drinking back then?
North London. It was the Freemasons Arms, now very trendy, in the incredibly expensive Hampstead, which again in the 70s didn't seem like, you know, it wasn't like, oh my God, it's in Hampstead. That's so expensive. Things were more normal then. It was pre-oligarchs and all that, and pre-reality television. And it was the Freemasons Arms. And what was the other one we used to drink in? It was mainly the Freemasons Arms. It was a bit of the Bull and Last. Yeah, Bull and Gate, Kentish Town, but mainly the Freemasons. That's where you could get served if you were 15 years old.
Wow.
Yes. I remember going to the pub when I was 15, George's Wine Bar in Oxford, it was. And I went, I dropped this pound on the floor that I was going to buy my gin and tonic with. And I was so young, and the barman went, oh, dropped your pocket money, have you? Like that. And then I went, yeah. And then he still served me. He knew fully what, yeah.
See? They didn't care, did they? Outrageous.
They just needed the money behind the bar, didn't they? And I guess they weren't getting checked.
They weren't, you know, they wouldn't have police like they would now, people saying they were underage drinkers and then it being shut down. So
no.
What the market is now.
They'd get a little rap on the knuckles probably, wouldn't they, back then? And that would be it.
Yeah.
I had a little look about you on the line, Arabella. And you were born in San Francisco, is that correct?
Yes, but entirely nothing to do with heritage. My dad was from there. No.
Oh.
There isn't. I am exclusively Scottish. There isn't a single bit of either English or anything else in me. But my dad was working there. And so that you know.
And you just popped out there. Just popped out.
Well, I mean, he was working in America for a few years. So I think they'd gone to America knowing that she was pregnant with me. But I, my dad was a diplomat. There was no, well, we better go back to Britain.
Right. You have to know that Sally has got these cats. They're not her cats, but she has to feed them dreamies. She's basically a cat stealer. So this will happen throughout the podcast. You'll hear some shaking.
That shake.
Yeah.
Do you know, though, it's a very sad day because the cats are going today.
Oh.
And are you a big cat person?
No, the owners are moving, like, literally today, any minute now. And one of them, and I was like, no, one of them's just in here, never mind.
She steals cats.
I don't steal them, but I've known them for so many years. But also the little girl who lives next door, she's also moved today. So it's been quite a heart-wrenching day because all of them have been my pandemic friends. And the little girl's 5 and we just used to chat over the garden wall and she's got off today and the cats are going today. And me and another neighbour are just, everyone's leaving. And it's very sad. So I'm feeling a bit.
Where are they going?
They're only going down the road, but that's not the point. I like the fact they just keep coming in and saying hello to me. That's
how do the cats get into your flat?
I've got a cat flap.
She's got a cat flap.
Oh, you've got a cat flap. Yeah, but have you got it for your own cat?
No, I don't have a cat anymore. I did have a cat, but I've still got the cat flap. But they've been in my life for about 4 years.
Did you shake like a bag of sweets to encourage the daughter from next door to come round and chat to you?
I like having them around, but I don't like the responsibility.
No, she just went for the 70s option, Lou, of putting sweets in the bottom of her pocket and then asked the little girl to put her hand in.
Oh, I love that.
Do you remember when the old gents used to do that? They're like, do you want a sweet, darling? It's in the pocket. Why don't you get it out? You think, why doesn't he get it out of his pocket? Why does he want me to put my hand into his pocket?
I wish they still did it.
Oh, Sally, such lonely times.
That's when you knew where you were. With you know, he asked you to get the sweets out of his pocket and you went, no, thank you, Ted, or whatever he was called.
Sweets out of the pocket. That's brilliant.
I'm going to write that down. So you trained on cider and beers.
Good staple training.
Drinks,
I think.
Yeah.
When did you discover champers then and nice wines?
I think I probably didn't. I mean, you know, my dad would always get champagne out at Christmas and I think we'd be allowed, not when we were teenagers, but, you know, a kind of sip of a glass. But I think I really discovered sort of nice wine and champagne when I mean, without wishing to sound too sort of like, I don't know, whoever, when I got in show business. You know, when people would have champagne for first nights or to celebrate something, that whole kind of, yeah. I guess, and it still feels like a flamboyant thing. You know, it is a very good way of marking that something is a bit special.
Yeah.
Even though champagne these days can cost less than good wine.
Well, it can be £10, can't it, Aldi and Lidl.
There's always something a bit kind of wee. So it was really, and then yeah, fine wines, working with older comics and always men and actors, and then someone going, "Oh, I've got a lovely wine
in my pocket."
In my pocket. All right, it happened in my trailer. Interested in booze as I was, I would often think, "Well, I bet I can go into the trailer and have a couple of glasses of wine and not get myself felt up."
Yeah.
Or anything else. And sometimes I was wrong, sometimes I was right.
Oh, lovely.
I think you won't find anybody my age who hasn't had at least 10 or 15 what are now known as Me Too experiences. 10 or 15, more like 50. I mean, it was just, you know.
The hand on the leg.
Well, hand on the leg or the why don't you come to. I mean, it was just a given.
Come on, Sally, give us a cuddle.
Not that you would agree necessarily, but it was a given that an older actor would try it on with you because I think they just thought it was roi de seigneur, you know. It was their you were young, pretty, and it was their right. I mean, and what else, you know, why would you dream of saying no? Here I'm whoever who's been on the telly for x years, why wouldn't you be delighted? And if you think about it, in, you know, long-standing tradition, I am an older, less attractive man, but I have power and money. You will naturally want to be near me because you are young and pretty, but have no power and no money.
Mm.
I can, or the conceit is, or at least the illusion is, and I can grease the wheels for you. I can make things happen for you.
God, it's horrible, isn't it? Just horrible. But now it's all kind of, especially on the comedy circuit as well, isn't it, Sally, that it's kind of, there's like a HR department now that's been kind of...
grown, really, from people.
Grown, that, yeah, from lots of experiences.
That's the thing about these jobs. There isn't an HR department generally, is there? There isn't really with comedy. There's kind of the trying to establish a kind of group.
Well, I think what I've noticed that's different, and I'm not on the circuit in the way that you guys are, but what I've noticed that difference is, even 10 years ago, if I'd go, that guy's just said I've got nice tits as I was walking onto stage, that's fine, isn't it? People would go, oh, come on, he was only having a laugh. Or, you know, you would be shamed by outing them for unacceptable behaviour. Now, I think the kind of the groundswell means that people will go, oh, he's a bit of a cheeseball.
Mm. Yep, yeah, absolutely.
They won't do the kind of, can you stop making such a fuss? It's not attractive.
Yeah.
Why are you embarrassing him? He was only trying to have a laugh.
And so what? So what?
Yeah, you have got nice tits. What's the matter with you? You know, I and although, because, you know, many younger people have said to me, well, why didn't you guys complain and stuff? And I went, who on earth do you think we'd have gone to?
Yeah.
Who on earth do you think? There was no powerful woman or even a powerful bloke who would be immediately sympathetic with you. Your job was to not annoy more powerful, more famous actor than you, and to make things nice. And if it took you going, oh, you know, all right, thanks a lot. No, I'm actually, I've got a boyfriend, or, you know, whatever you said to get out of it, it was not your job to go, sorry, that's bollocks and I'm not having it. And I think it's changed. I think we would now, at the very least, publicly embarrass someone, even if it was in a, like, you know, doing a lineup and just go, well, that guy's just said that to me.
You've got to, though, haven't you? I think, like, God, about 10, 15 years ago, I sort of flagged up to my then agent that somebody had been inappropriate with me, and we were with the same agent. And she sacked me and kept him. So it was a bit like, oh, okay. All right.
So she gave you the message pretty loud and clear.
Yeah. So it's like, oh, okay. So we don't talk about this then. Right. Okay. So I've now lost my opportunities.
Madeleine Albright, you know, the American Secretary of State, she said, there's a special place in hell for women who don't help other women.
Mm.
And if your agent was it a woman?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what the F is she doing? Not going, oh, that's not on. But going, no, do you know what? I think I'll get rid of you and keep him.
Well, he was the cash cow and I was just, you know, a subsidiary of whatever it was that she was trying to do.
I got that. I'm just saying, don't make it right.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't make it right.
I'd hope it wouldn't happen like that now.
Well, the agent would probably have to weigh up, if it was Lou, how vocal that person was going to be, how much jeopardy she was putting herself in by keeping him. Because, of course, it's usually, if he's done that with one young comic, he's going to do it with another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not just, well, that was just one girl.
Mm.
He's never like that ordinarily. Yeah, right.
And then one person comes forward and it gives the other people the strength, doesn't it, to go, oh, actually.
Exactly.
That wasn't right what you did to me. And I've kind of put it to the back of my mind and it, or excused or made it seem as though it was all right. I am now appointing Lou head of HR.
Oh,
so while I'm HR,
yes, very good.
Oh, great. Okay.
While I'm CEO, you're head of HR. So you can come to me with these and I will just...
What am I, a visiting consultant, should we say?
Yes.
I'm an advisory capacity.
Let's do that.
Yes. Hi, I'm a consultant. I'm in for the day. I'm going to tell you how it is. I'm going to tell you how it should be.
How we can improve. What we're doing well. Yeah, all of that. And while you're doing that, Arabella, can you tell us some drunk stories of yours?
Dramatic pause. A dramatic pause says something without saying anything at all. Dramatic pause is a go-to for podcasters, presidents, and radio voiceovers. It makes you look really smart, even if you're not. Feet deserve a go-to like that. Like Hey Dude Shoes. Light, comfy, good to go to.
Oh, don't.
No, don't.
That's a great, that's the best start. Oh,
yeah,
don't.
I know, because, well, the fact is, and my son hasn't come home yet, I would say, and I'm not, I've had a lot of therapy, so I'm not saying this in either a proud or even an ashamed way. I'm just saying it. I would get so paralytic a lot of the time when I was a teenager and a young woman that I'd pretty much sleep with anyone. And I don't know. I mean, that makes it sound like, yeah, what a lad, S or whatever. I think I must have been desperate for attention. And I wasn't, you'll be surprised to hear, totally confident that boys would get off with me anyway. And now I know boys will get off with pretty much anyone if there's a bunk up in it. So I'd get very drunk and then sleep with people and pretty much regret it. Not always, but quite a lot of the time. And then I'd resolve not to drink again. But when I was, I remember two of my closest friends I met when I was 11 at, you know, the beginning of secondary school. And they're still two of my closest friends. And we were talking about this the other day. I'd get so drunk that I would try and sort of sleep in the street and get them to leave me. And to this, it, you know, and then I'd go, no, and just leave me, I'll be okay. Just so desperate to sort of lie down was I. And many times, well, on one time in particularly, I'm remembering, they literally dragged me down Archway Road because they wouldn't leave me there. And I remember begging them to leave me there and going, no, no, it's fine. I was like 17, 16. I mean, I'm looking back and I'm thinking it's quite self-destructive behaviour, which I think it was. But when it's all sort of dressed up as a bit of a laugh and everything. So I'm just saying there's quite a lot of now men, then boys around the North London area who can proudly say they've had a go on me. But, and I'm going to say it's only because of 8 vodka gimlets.
Well, more than 8, I reckon.
Yeah. But... quite a lot of puking, a lot of puking.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know, I wouldn't say that I'd fully got the brakes on now.
No.
I mean, I don't do 8 vodka gimlets and lie on the street anymore, but I wouldn't say that I've ever, I haven't learned to drive the moderating vehicle.
No. Well. You're talking to two women that concur. We had a session in London quite recently after a recording, and we got on the cocktails, and they're like sweets, aren't they? The
cocktails are bonbons, aren't they?
I mean, aren't they?
Alcohol dressed up for children, isn't it?
Yes.
You just think it's a fruit juice.
Yes.
There can't be anything alcoholic in this.
And also it was champagne and vodka together as well, which is kind of, which is delicious, but lethal. If you've got a little flavour, it's a twinkle, champagne, vodka and elderflower cordial, but you can have a champagne and raspberry vodka. You can, oh my God, it's so delicious, but lethal. Of course it's lethal.
Hang on a minute. Pause. Hello, my darling. Did you see my text? I'm doing a Zoom.
Wi-Fi's in there.
Anyway. Just never mind. Let's not argue about it. Are you about to do something?
Yeah, I'm about to cook dinner.
No, you have to wait for me.
I'm going to the pub. Good pub,
all right, can you hear all this? Right, last thing. It's the tofu. Now, how middle class is this?
That's hilarious.
I'm going to mute you now. It's the tofu that needs cooking, not the halloumi.
I'm going to extra stir fry.
Yeah, all right. Did I manage to mute you?
No, we heard
all of that.
It's not the halloumi.
Before you nail me for being too white and middle class, he bought the tofu, not me.
I think the halloumi?
It's the devil's spawn.
What's his name and how old is he, please?
He's Archie and he's 22. Yeah, he was objecting to me being in the kitchen. Right, as we were, girls, one of the jokes I make in my show, which I will be talking about, my solo show, is that, and this is actually true, is that it was one of the things I was most pleased about when my daughter turned 18, was because I'm a single parent and I have been for about, God, 11 years or something. Although, sidebar, my ex-mother-in-law, Irish working class, said all mothers are single mothers.
True.
Yes, so one of the red letter days for about her turning 18 was that I meant I finally had another adult in the house of legal drinking age.
Great.
So brilliant. I opened a bottle of wine without feeling like, next step, I'll be drinking white ice and living in the park. Because that's my big thing, you know. If I open a bottle of wine, will I sink the whole thing?
Well,
I mean, why not? Why not sing the whole thing? I mean,
then I've got, you know, then I've got cirrhosis. What is it called? Cirrhosis.
Oh, cirrhosis. Yeah, you don't want to get that far. You want to just enjoy it.
I don't want to be lying in the gutter.
But you're talking to two women who developed a podcast in a pandemic because we would
to both cover their alcohol
specific
problems.
Reason,
yeah.
Of going, how do we have a drink every time we work? I've got it.
Yeah, exactly.
In a pub. Or we do a podcast where we say to people, look, I'm afraid you're going to have to have a drink while you're doing this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we've had soft drinks, haven't we, Sally?
Sometimes people don't drink and it's fine because drinking also is not as cool as it once. Well, I don't know if it was ever cool, but, you know, it's sort of to not drink is a real thing now in the comedy world for sure. Like,
yeah, but aren't they? And I'm going to go out on a limb here and go, I bet most of them are blokes. Isn't it a kind of badge of honour because I was a serious alcoholic and now I'm, you know, 13 days sober, 14 years sober, and you're like going, yeah.
I think people are just so careerists more now. Yeah. It's the younger people that are coming through. You know, they didn't have vodka. They didn't have 12 vodka gimlets.
Yeah, because who could have afforded it? My kids couldn't have afforded 15, you know, whatever it is, 8 vodka gimlets. Yes, it's more expensive. But of course, then they drink all that. No disrespect to you. Don't send me a letter, Glen Vodka. But, you know, teenagers basically drink like alcoholics.
Like, oh, do they?
Like street drinkers.
Oh, okay.
They all drink little bottles of this disgusting vodka called Glen, which you literally only ever see in a teenager's handbag or in the bin in the local park.
I'm just going to write that down. Glen.
Glen. Nice cheap vodka. It also double up as a paint stripper. You know, it's beautiful stuff. And yeah, it's Glen's that, but no, teenagers. I'm not sure. I don't know anybody who thinks it's not cool to drink apart from recovering alcoholics.
My niece doesn't. She's 22. She's living with me at the moment. She'll have one glass and that'll be it. And I think, really related to me? Are you?
She obviously knows what moderation means, which was never my area either.
No, you were on the street. You were being pulled down the Archway Road, weren't you?
Pulled down Archway Road by Sophie and Sue.
Oh, good old Sophie and Sue. I'm glad you're still mates with Sophie and Sue. What we do, Arabella, is we ask our listeners to send us a drunk story. Do I do that now, Lou? Do you want to read it out?
Oh, I don't mind. Do you want to or shall I?
Go on then, you do it.
I've got it. Arabella, this is a drunk story from what they call Becky from the Forest of Dean. Beautiful place. I went to my mate's New Year's Eve party with my then boyfriend. It was fancy dress. I went as Alice in Wonderland, and so did my boyfriend.
Oh.
We hadn't been getting on very well, and he was driving me mad. Everything he did that night got on my nerves, and I decided, whilst pissed, that I didn't want to be with him anymore, and I decided to tell him that on the stroke of midnight. In my defence, I didn't know what the time was. I told him I wanted to split up, and then everybody started counting down to the new year. And we just stood in silence, and I watched his mascara run as he cried his way into the new year. There you go. Thank you, Becky, from the Forest of Dean.
Wow.
Thank you, Becky, for a really beautiful story. I hope that ended with, and so I decided, because I felt so sorry for him, I thought I'd marry him.
Well, we will never know.
What happens?
What I love is the fact that she watched his mascara run.
Maybe he was thinking of a different direction.
Maybe, and maybe she did him a massive favour. Exactly. We just don't know, do we?
She pointed him in the right direction.
Exactly.
Well, if he's listening, could he write in and let us know what happened next?
Yes.
Wouldn't it be lovely to find out where he went? I hope, you know, he could.
And having a marvellous time. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Oh God, yes. I wonder if the best decisions. Have you ever found that you? I mean, this is famous, isn't it? You think you're being brilliant when you've had a couple of glasses, but the thing is, the really disarming thing is sometimes you're right.
Mm.
Sometimes you are better when you've had a couple of, because it sort of frees you up in a way. Mm. I mean, I'm definitely bloody hilarious after a couple of drinks, and then not so funny. After three or four more. But there's a certain sweet spot where you go, oh my God, I'm really on fire here. I mean, that's the appeal of it, isn't it? It kind of greases the wheels and you're going, yeah, come on. And then you're going, not so much.
But how do you maintain that sport? That's the thing, isn't it?
You've got to measure. Yeah. It's all about moderation, as I'm constantly being told. But
moderation can be dull. Sorry. Mm. Go on, Luke.
No, I was going to say my wheels are so greased that they are really greased. That
you've got a greasy wheel, have you, love?
I really have got greasy wheels.
Greasy wheel on you. Are you enjoying my tipple of choice?
Oh, my God.
Very much so.
Now, listen, you're on tour, aren't you?
I am. Feels like the longest tour of all time, but of course it wasn't. This was a tour I was about a third of the way through when the little heard about pandemic struck. And then the dates I'm doing now are the ones that, some extra ones as well, but that, you know, that got delayed. And the show is called Does My Mum Loom Big in This?
Oh,
you see what I did there?
Yes, absolutely. I want to applaud you.
Beautifully done.
Yeah,
myself. That's poor show, isn't it?
Look, no, go ahead.
My mother, you won't be surprised to hear, has had an enormous influence in my life, but mainly negative. No, I would say almost exclusively negative. So it was her obsession with her need to be thin that made me come up with Does My Bum Look Big in This? And then that's why I wrote this show to talk about how, yeah, mother's influences. She used to say, you don't need to eat because you're fat.
Oh, ow.
And you clearly, I never understood the logic was, you've obviously eaten enough already. You know, that the bag is already full. Why would you be eating anymore? Well, I'm hungry. And she'd say, good, it's good for you.
Oh, my God.
Good for you. Eating is bad. Anyway, so this show is sort of, I think it's quite shocking, people say in parts, but it's also pretty funny.
My mum, lover, she would say to me, oh, why are you eating that? I thought you were on a diet.
Yeah.
And I would never.
Mince pie.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, leave that yogurt. That's Louise's. And I think that comes from her parents as well, because my nan, her mum, we'd sort of meet up for lunch occasionally. My nan, there was one particular date, my nan sang a chorus as we walked into the restaurant. She sang a chorus of, oh, chubby, 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 chubby. And like really loudly as I was walking into the restaurant and I had to sit down. And my mum went, oh, she don't know what she's talking about. She's got Alzheimer's. And I thought, well, that's not stopped her eyesight, has it? So that thing when they kind of put it on you, and then I've got weird eating habits anyway, I always have, but that does come from, yeah, but that's like...
That's the other great thing about the Me Too movement. You're both younger than me, and so a lot of those actresses that have come out in the Me Too movement, you know, the really famous ones who've talked about it, are younger than even you guys. It is... What have most women worldwide, whatever their culture, been taught? Make it nice for men.
Mm.
Be pleasing. Be pretty to look at. And let's face it, be slim, attractive. Do not, because I also think the fatness is an issue of there can't be too much of you.
Mm.
You know, man's got to be his opinions. He'll only give you a bad time if you talk over him, or if you're more successful than him or whatever. And we're only just. I think breaking the kind of, no, if he doesn't like it, he can fuck off. I think there's a whole groundswell of change now, not going, just be nice.
Mm. Yeah, I remember my first boyfriend sort of saying things like, oh, you'd be much better looking if you just lost it. You don't know, so you don't need to lose weight. You just need to tone up a bit, don't you? Yeah.
And he says, do you know what you need to do? You need to fuck off.
Yeah, but now, yes. But at the time, I sort of put up with it.
That's a brilliant way of losing some weight. Let's get rid of you.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Shifted a whole ton of shit.
It's when blokes just have that, because I had that before when I was at this party and I didn't know this man, and he came up to me and he said, you'd be really pretty if you just lost weight.
Yeah.
And so that was like just under 30 years ago. And I still remember it. I know exactly where I was standing. I know the house I was in. I know exactly what he was wearing.
But the joke being, if I told you that story about any woman, everyone would go, what, is she mad?
Mm.
I mean, imagine any one of us going up to a guy going, do you know what? You had a bigger cock. You'd be great.
Yeah.
I mean, like they go, what, is she crazy? The entitlement, the world that he comes from, in that he's just sharing with you his opinion. I mean, he's sort of helping you out, really.
Poor guy. Just sort of, you know,
what did he do? He just said, you know, she lost a bit of weight, she would be prettier. Mm. And, you know, she'd get a prize like him.
My friend Robin, who's brilliant, and I remember her saying to him, like, years ago, maybe 20 years ago, when he was boring her at a party, she just went, "Gonna have to stop you there. Not interested." I don't think I've laughed so much because it just wasn't, that sort of thing wasn't.
What, are you a leather?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, she didn't tell me the end of the story, actually, thinking about it. Yeah, what's wrong with her?
Trust me, he doesn't remember where he was when a woman said that to him at the party or what she was wearing. He was going to go, because not very few women will ever have said anything like that to him.
But they will now.
Nice. She's trying to be nice, trying to make boys like her.
Yeah, she's making me laugh. That's what she's doing. She's coming at me with that angle. Laughter, yeah. We make a cocktail for the listener.
I'm not going to let you make a cocktail.
No, not make one. Describe one.
Not with that champagne, you're not.
No. Oh, no.
Okay. No. No, not as make one.
Girls, as you were.
We made one for the listener, which was Becky, don't we? But Alice in Wonderland, we can put it in a big cup, can't we?
Oh, well, what should we call it then?
The Mad Hatter. We'll call it the Mad Hatter.
Yes, yeah. Because she was a Mad Hatter. And I wonder what she was drinking to make it.
She got rid of her husband, something, maybe gin.
Is there
a bit more pleasant?
Is there a drink that gives you clarity? Maybe a Jaeger bomb or something like that wakes you up, doesn't it?
That gives you chlamydia, not clarity.
Ah, right.
Oh, no, why not? I know a good one that's very much a sort of child's drink dressed up as a cocktail, a sea breeze.
Yeah.
There you go.
Pineapple vodka, is that right?
Cranberry will sort out any potential cystitis from shagging somebody else.
Vaginal issues, yeah.
Yeah.
Why don't we call the drink urinary
tract infection?
Brilliant.
I'm not a cocktail expert.
The cocktail we make for you, Arabella, you've already named. It's called Cock Expert.
Yes.
Yes.
If I don't get a job in a cocktail bar with my Cock Expert and my urinary tract cocktail, adjusted.
I think for Arabella's cocktail, it's got to have something creamy in it for the jizz. It's got to have like a Bailey's. It's got to be off colour.
I don't like cream in drinks.
I'm sorry it's not your choice because nobody really likes cream up them, do they? But do you know what? You've just...
That.
What about a bit of Kahlua?
Maybe
one bit of Kahlua. Daniel,
what's your favourite spirits then? If we were going to put spirits in a cock expert...
Vodka and then some more vodka.
Vodka and some vodka.
There you go.
So three shots of vodka we've got so far.
Yeah, that's
maraschino cherries.
Yes.
No, just vodka and lime. Let's go vodka and lime.
Yeah, there you go.
There's some maraschino cherries in there as well.
Now, Arabella, we have our penultimate question for you. Let's imagine that Arabella Weir has a spittoon in front of her. Okay. And in that spittoon, it's got the shrapnel from somebody else's offcasts of their booze. Whose spittoon, Arabella Weir, would you drink?
I'd drink David Tennant's spittoon.
Oh, okay. Reasons? Reasons?
Because I know him very well.
Oh, you can trust that mouth. You can trust it.
I can trust the mouth swell, as they call it.
Yeah.
I know I'm doing that. All my children's, but no, actually, I'd probably prefer David's because, you know, nicer wine. David and I like the same sort of wine and
great.
I like with his spittoon.
Thank you so much for joining us. You've been bloody marvellous to chat to.
Very nice to meet you. I hope I meet you in the flesh.
Spit or Swallow is produced by Amanda Redman.
If you want to get in touch with what you thought about the wines that we've tried, recommendations of your own, or feel like sharing your worst drunken story with us, then please do.
On Twitter and Insta, we're at Lou and Sally.
Facebook is Spit or Swallow Podcast.
Or email us at spitorswallowpodcast34@gmail.com.
And if you want to support the podcast, then go to www.patreon.com/spitorswallowpodcast. Thanks to Audio Boom for hosting us, but most of all, thanks to you for listening.
That's all for now. See you next time.
Progressive Snapshot can save you money based on how you drive and how much you drive. So the safer you drive, the more money you could save. Now, if you didn't hear that because you were laying on the horn while driving, let me say it again.
Are you a race car driver? Because if you are, you're in the wrong car and you took a wrong turn off the track a while ago. And all those cars you're trying to pass all save money with Progressive Snapshot, while you probably don't. So who's really winning? And if you did hear it the first time, nice work. You'd love Snapshot from Progressive because it rewards safe drivers. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Snapshot not available in California and North Carolina or from all agents.
When you bundle your renters and auto insurance with Progressive, you could save money, but it doesn't cover any terrible memories living rent-free in your head.
Hey, just wanted to remind you of that time your kicker missed the extra point and lost the game. Even though he literally never missed an extra point, he chose this playoff game to miss. Yeah, I just noticed you hadn't thought about that in a bit. Wouldn't want you to miss, you know, thinking about it.
Sorry, we can't save you from that memory. But we could save you money bundling your renters and auto insurance with Progressive. Coverage from Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and third-party insurers. Renters insurance and bundle discount not available in all states or situations.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Spit or Swallow is produced by Amanda Redman.
If you want to get in touch with us about what you thought about the drinks that we've tried, or recommendations of your own, or you feel like sharing your worst drunken story with us, then please do.
On Twitter and Insta, we are at Lou and Sally. Facebook and TikTok is Spit or Swallow Podcast. Or email us at spitorswallowpodcast34, that's the numbers 34, at gmail.com.
If you've enjoyed the podcast, then please subscribe and leave us a review because this helps other people find us.
And if you want to support the podcast, then go to www.patreon.com/spitorswallowpodcast where you can find some bonus content.
Thanks to Acast for hosting us, but most of all, thanks to you lot for listening.
That's all for now. See you next time.
Bye!